Hello, and welcome to the podcast for World War One. We're just gonna start off taking it back old school with the causes of World War One. First up, we got the alliances. Taylor, what were the alliances?
Which one's the Triple Entente?
No, Taylor. Okay, that's not right. Kai, go ahead.
All right, man. Well, there were two alliances, actually, that took place during World War One. And one of them was the Triple Entente. And the second was the Triple Alliance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, man.
Thanks, Kai. Thank you for that. So, Andrew, can you tell us something about nationalism?
Yeah, man. Nationalism, it inspired the assassination of Archduke Franz Ferdinand, which directly led to World War One.
Whoa!
Hey, Taylor, wasn't your grandpa in the Battle of the Argonne Forest?
I don't want to talk about it.
Oh, cool. All right. Well, then, can you tell us a little something about the Battle of the Argonne Forest?
It was a part of the final Allied offensive of World War I that stretched the entire Western Front.
Hey, Kelbert. Can you tell me a little bit about the American Expeditionary Forces led by General John Pershing?
Oh, yeah, Kai. It was a major force in Europe, and it helped defeat Germany just a lot earlier than expected.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So I remember always hearing about this Alvin York dude when I was learning about World War One, and I heard Andrew knows a lot about Alvin York. Ain't that right, Andrew?
Yeah, he received a Medal of Honor for leading an attack on a German machine gun nest.
Dang, that's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Okay, Kelly, can you tell me about one of the 14 points?
Of what?
President Wilson?
Oh, yeah. I know one of them. The freedom of the seas. It stressed the freedom to navigate the oceans, and it prohibited war that was fought in water. And there's another one. I forgot it.
It was the equality of trade.
Oh, God, you know
yeah,
it.
Yeah, dude, it was like we can trade the peace and associating themselves for like its maintenance.
Yeah. Oh, you're so smart, Kai.
Thanks, dude.
Gosh.
Okay, Kai, can you tell me about the League of Nations?
Yeah, actually, it was an attempt to make world peace between countries.
Oh, cool. Okay, Andrew, can you talk about the territorial losses of the Treaty of Versailles?
Yeah, the U.S., Great Britain, France, and other territorial military and economic provisions on defeated Germany.
Cool. Wow. With all this war, there must have been some guilt, right, Taylor? Some war guilt, right?
Yeah. This clause was added in order to get the French and Belgians to agree to reduce the sum of money that Germany would have to pay to compensate for war damage.
Yeah. Oh, goodness gracious. Man, all this World War One really has me interested in a lot of things. Right?
Yeah, dude. Especially like the technology used.
Dude, the technology during World War One was crazy. Like,
yeah, it was absolutely.
Could you imagine?
Bonkers.
Like, they had poison gas.
Dude, that must have hurt so bad.
Dude, the French used poison gas as weapons.
That's insane.
During World War One.
That is absolutely
to just
madness.
Kill everyone.
Jesus Christ.
And it started with like tear gas, but then it moved to like more deadly gases like chlorine and stuff.
Like, yeah, like mustard gas.
Do you have a pool, Taylor?
Yeah.
And you have chlorine in your pool?
Yeah.
You can die from that.
Yeah, like if you breathe it in
like
powder
if you made
form,
a bomb, like yeah. if we made a bomb of chlorine, that could kill everyone.
Yeah,
man.
That would be no bueno.
That would be insane. Like, whoa.
One time when I was like 13, I was cleaning my room out and I mixed ammonia and bleach together to spray down.
Did you die?
No, dude, almost though.
Oh
so
my god.
I proceeded to spray down my entire room and I left my room for a while to go eat some like chicken nuggets or whatever in the kitchen and I came back and I almost suffocated, dude. It made my eyes water.
Dude, did it remind you of World War One?
I mean, I would imagine so.
Yeah. Bro, you know this is crazy?
What?
Like they didn't just like fight like on the floor. Or on the battlegrounds, bro. Guess what they did?
What?
They dug trenches.
Trenches?
Trenches,
no
bro.
No way.
It was like, is it the way that they fought? And they like got in the trenches and like shot at each other.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, I saw that in the
on a movie.
What was the movie called?
Oh, I forgot.
It's called like World War
One.
Yes, yeah. Dude. Had like Leonardo DiCaprio in it or something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, Brad Pitt.
Brad Pitt.
That's who it was. Oh, no.
Dude, that's crazy. Taylor, what do you think about that?
Yeah.
They just sat in holes and shot each other. I mean.
Yeah. Nothing much more to say about that. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, we could say more about it. Kai?
What do you have on it, Kyle?
What do you think
about? Yeah, man. Actually, one of the reasons they dug the trenches was to protect themselves from enemy gunfire.
Dude, I never thought of it that way.
Yeah, eventually conditions got so bad in the trenches that there were rats crawling over their feet.
Is that why
they
said
fighting.
In like songs you're like, they grew up in the trenches?
Yeah.
Dope,
bro. It's crazy. Like, hey, Kelbert.
Yeah, bro.
Did you hear about the sinking of the Lusitania?
The Lusa who?
The Lusitania.
The Lusitania, bro.
Yeah, dude, it was the sinking of the ocean liner RMS Lusitania, which occurred on May 7th in 1915 during World War I.
Dude, I read a book one time.
Yeah?
And it was like, seeing how that's why the United States went into World War I.
Yeah, dude, it's because Germany waged submarine warfare against the UK and Great Britain and Ireland.
Freaking Germany, man.
I know. The ship was identified and torpedoed by the German U-boat U-20 and sank in 18 minutes.
This is crazy.
It's crazy stuff.
Albert.
Commercial break is brought to you by Victory Gardens.
Yeah, I'm saying. We gotta dig them. Make them Victory Gardens. We can feed our family during war. Save the vegetable, man. Save all the vegetables.
Now back to the regularly scheduled podcast.
All right, well, it seems that everybody joining me on the podcast today has gone on lunch break, so I guess we'll just continue the podcast by starting with the Zimmerman telegram. It was a secret diplomatic communication issued from the German Foreign Office in January 1917 that proposed a military alliance between Germany and Mexico. In the event that the United States entered World War I against Germany, Mexico would recover Texas, Arizona, and New Mexico. The telegram was intercepted and decoded by British intelligence. Revelation of the contents enraged Americans, especially after German Foreign Secretary Arthur Zimmerman publicly admitted the telegram was genuine on March 3rd and helped generate support for the United States declaration of war on Germany in April. In my opinion, the Zimmerman telegram was a huge mistake because it enraged basically the entire country of the United States, and it led us to believe that Germany and Mexico were working against us, and that was no bueno. So, in that case, Germany and Mexico made a big no-no. Also, if British intelligence wouldn't have decoded the message from Germany to Mexico, they probably would have ended up teaming up together and attacking the US. So it's good that the British Empire did decode the message when they did.
The decryption of the Zimmerman telegram was described as the most significant intelligence triumph for Britain during World War I and one of the earliest occasions on which a piece of signal intelligence influenced world events. The message was sent to German ambassador of Mexico, Heinrich von Eckart. Zimmerman sent the telegram in anticipation of the resumption of unrestricted submarine warfare by Germany on the 1st of February, an act of the German government presumed would almost certainly lead to war with the United States. The telegram instructed Ambassador Eckart that if the United States appeared certain to enter the war, he was to approach the Mexican government with the proposal for military alliance with funding from Germany. The telegram was part of an effort carried out by the Germans to postpone the transportation of supplies and other war materials from the United States to the Allied powers that were at war with Germany. The main purpose of the telegram was to make the Mexican government declare war on the United States in hopes of tying down American forces and slowing the export of American arms. The German high command believed they would be able to defeat the British and French on the Western Front and strangle Britain with unrestricted submarine warfare before American forces could be trained and shipped to Europe in sufficient numbers to aid the Allied powers. The Germans were encouraged by their successes on the Eastern Front into believing that they would be able to divert large numbers of troops to the Western Front in support of their goals. This commercial break is brought to you by
Uncle Sam.
Hey, son, I see you sitting there on the back of your GMC. Why don't you pick up a rifle and come join the Marine Corps? You can do a lot of service for your country, and you can make everybody proud.
Now back to the scheduled podcast.
Yeah, so as I was saying, the Zimmerman telegram was a big mistake on Germany's part. And now we will be talking about the Selective Service Act of 1917, which was authorized by the United States federal government to raise a national army for service in World War I through conscription. It was envisioned in December 1916 and brought to President Woodrow Wilson's attention shortly after break in relations with Germany in February of 1917. The act itself was drafted by then-Captain, later Brigadier General, Hugh S. Johnson after the United States entered World War I by declaring war on Germany. The act was canceled with the end of the war on November 11, 1918. The act was upheld as constitutional by the United States Supreme Court in 1918. During the time the U.S. was involved in World War I, there were many posters for recruiting new soldiers into the American Army with a picture of Uncle Sam, a man with a white beard, white hair, and a top hat with a blue stripe and stars around it. He wore a blue overcoat with a white shirt and a red bow tie. And the poster said, "I want you for the U.S. Army." And it said to go to the nearest recruiting station. And it was a picture of him pointing his finger at you, or in other words, pointing his finger to young men to be recruited to the U.S. Army. A nickname for the Selective Service Act of 1917 was the Selective Draft Act of 1916, which was enacted by the 65th United States Congress and was effective on May 18th of 1917. A problem that came up in the writing of the bill and its negotiation through Congress was the desire of former President Theodore Roosevelt to assemble a volunteer force to go to Europe. President Wilson and others, including Army officers, were reluctant to permit this for a variety of reasons. The final bill contained a compromise provision permitting the president to raise 4 volunteer divisions, a power Wilson did not exercise. To persuade an uninterested populace to support the war and the draft, George Creel, a veteran on the newspaper industry, became the United States official war propagandist. He set up the Committee on Public Information, which recruited 75,000 speakers, who made 750,000 4-minute speeches in 5,000 cities and towns across America. So that was our podcast for today. I hope you enjoyed it. We talked a lot about everything that happened and took place during World War I, from war guilt, to technology used in World War One, to the trenches, to the Civil Service Act, and to the Zimmerman Telegram. I hope you guys enjoyed. Stay tuned for the next one. Thanks.